Praise the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. There's something about that name, the name of Jesus. You have your Bibles with you today. Some very familiar reading. One of the most, I guess, read scriptures in most every setting you can imagine, Psalms 23. Psalms 23. This is David writing this, and he says in verse number 1, and most everybody knows these few scriptures by heart, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The personal confession with which David begins his meditation establishes the thought for the rest of this prayer in Psalms 23. Psalms 23 answers the question, and I guess you need to ask yourself this question: what does it mean for the Lord to be my shepherd? And since David knows well how to care for the sheep, because that's what he was, and so he's using a metaphor of what God is to him in relationship to what he is to the sheep that he watched. And David is able to gracefully and powerfully to apply this, as I said, to his relationship with God. And we need to make note of the personal thing that David said, because he said the word "my." When you get into using the word "my," you are getting personal. And we know the God that we read in the scriptures is one thing, and if we must know this, you got to know this: he is a personal God. And that's how he wants to relate to you and I today on a very intimate level. But because I know we come in here and we have the corporate worship, and I know that when we read God, we read about God, about the God of Israel and all of this, but he's not only a corporate God, but he's also a personal God. And he's known, as we read scripture, for his, and what I like about this is his individual relationship. We can come in here and we can feel the presence of God, but also when you leave here, you have a personal relationship with him. It's corporate and it's personal. And that's what I like about God. God wants to get personal with his people. Problem is, we don't want to get too personal with him, because when you get personal with somebody, you begin to open up about things and you begin to tell about things in your life. And we don't want to get personal with God, because we want to sort of hold back a little bit. You've heard the thing that 3 foot distance, you're in my personal space. When you step into that 3 foot area, you're getting too personal with me. But when we read about the God that we serve and the God of the Bible, he is famous for his personal relationships with individuals. One of the greatest things is when Moses stood and in Exodus chapter 3, and he said to Moses, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And the Bible said Moses hid his face and was afraid to look upon God. He stated there that he was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And when David was anointed king of Israel in Samuel chapter 16, the Bible says, and he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of beauty, countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. And Samuel took the oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. The Spirit of the Lord came on David from that day forward. So we see that there was a personal thing that happened there with David. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord came on David from that day forward. So the book of Psalm is a witness to the intimacy of David's relationship with God, because he said there, as we read in 23:1, the Lord is what? He is my shepherd. And then he said, I shall not want. Amen. He is my shepherd. The word shepherd, when we begin to read the word and study the word shepherd, amen, it is applied to God all throughout Scripture. In Psalms 80, it says, give care, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Israel like a flock. Amen. He's addressed in Genesis chapter 49. Amen. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, amen, the stone of Israel. Ezekiel 34 says, amen, for thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered. So will I seek out my sheep and will deliver, amen, them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. You flip to the New Testament, and in John chapter 10, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. Amen. So Jesus here identifies himself as the good shepherd. Amen. The messianic king. His goodness is in his giving his life for the sheep. Amen. So David, to call God shepherd, is acknowledging God for who he is. He's acknowledging God as king. He's acknowledging God as savior. He's acknowledging God as the one who meets all of his needs, because he said there in Psalms 23, he said, he is my shepherd, and he said, I shall not want. I shall not want. Amen. We got to understand, church, every need that I have, amen, will be met by the guiding, providing hand, amen, of Almighty God. Amen. How will this happen? Amen. David goes on in the Psalms as we go to on and deeper into it, and he begins to talk about how God meets our needs. Amen. In verse 2, he said, he does what? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Amen. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. In our crazy life, and everybody in here can testify, amen, how crazy and frantic our life is today. It's the one thing that God wants you and I to do today. He wants us to rest in him. Amen. We know what the Sabbath was instituted for. Amen. But the place of rest, he said, is the green pastures. The Hebrew word here used, it means fresh shoots. Amen. Like green grass. Amen. Green meadows where the sheep can graze and enjoy the soft grass. Amen. And just rest. I'm here to tell you today, in our goal-oriented life, amen, we need to sit down and we need to sometimes say, God, I'm just going to rest. Amen. The devil makes us feel guilty. You got to get up and do this. You got to get up and do that. Amen. But sometimes we need to delight in the personal time of the presence of the Holy One and allow ourselves, amen, to rest in the presence of God. He leads me beside the still waters. He leads me, amen, in the green pastures. I'm here to tell you, church, it's by the divine hand of God and the divine presence of God that you and I need to rest today in him. Our life can get crazy and we know it. As we live in this life of you got to do this and you got to do that and you got to get this done, we need to understand that, nope, that's not. We need just sometimes to say, if it doesn't get done, it doesn't get done. And we need to just sometimes rest in God. The divine presence of God. Amen. What does he do? He directs the sheep. Where does he lead them? He takes them beside the still waters. Now I want you to know what the verb here is. It means to lead. It means to lead to a watering place. The pools of water allow the sheep, amen, to drink freely. Look where he leads them, beside the still waters. Amen. Not a raging river where there's danger. And as our shepherd Jesus Christ provides us with rest and food and water, we need to come to him and allow him to lead us. There's never a place in scripture where I find that God's a pushing. Amen. Or God's dragging. Amen. Or God's making. He wants us to come of a free will and say, Lord, I want you to lead me. As we heard in Bible study, when the Apostle Paul said those famous words that every one of us need to say, Lord, what will thou have me to do? And allow God to open up the vision, to open up the path, amen, to open up your revelation. God's not going to cram stuff down your throat. He wants you to lift holy hands to heaven, and he wants us to say, Lord, lead me. I like what Jesus said in Matthew, amen, 28 and verse 30. He said, come unto me, oh ye that are laden, heavy and are laden, heavy laden. And what did he say he would do? He said, I'll give you rest. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. He said, learn of me. He said, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. He said, for my yoke is easy and my burden's light. Amen. The rest that Jesus has, amen, is a yoke of grace, a yoke of wisdom. Amen. That unites persons with him. Amen. A yoke was a heavy thing that they put on the oxen to link them together. Amen. Kind of to steer them in the right direction. If we'll allow that yoke of wisdom and that yoke of grace, amen, to link us with Jesus Christ, amen, I'm here to tell you people, he'll lead you to the green pastures. He'll lead you beside the still waters. He'll lead you, amen, into the grace and the anointing of life. If we'll allow Jesus to lead us, amen, if we'll allow Jesus, amen, to walk with us, he's the bearer of wisdom. He's the bearer of life and such rest. Amen. Relationship. That rest allows me, amen, to have a relationship with Christ. His grace will feed me. His grace will comfort me. I'm here to tell you this. It's bread from heaven that we need. And the one thing that you and I need to do is to allow the anointing of the Holy Ghost, amen, to lead us into the grace of Jesus Christ today. Jesus said to the multitudes in chapter 6 of John, he told them, I'm the bread of life. He said, if you come to me, you shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. The bread of life, the spirit that he gives us will quench that thirst. There's so many people today, as we look around, that are hurting. I was talking to a guy last week, and it's amazing. His wife is, he said she's about to lose it. He said she's depressed, and she's going to a therapist, and the therapist is digging up things in her past and says that she needs to get closure on these things in her past. And I looked at him, I said, she needs to bury the past and start living in today. She's got issues with her mother because of past things. I said, she needs to leave them go. And he says, we've tried everything. And the crazy thing is, this young man, younger than I am, was raised by his grandma, or not raised by his grandma, but went to church with his grandma to a Pentecostal church in Merlin Heights. And I looked at him, I said, you've tried everything else. A therapist, books, you've tried talking, you've tried this, that, and the other. I said, why don't you try Jesus? And he just looked at me and he said, she wouldn't do that. And he says, and I don't know about that. But as Jesus said, he said, he that cometh to me, how hard is it? And I don't understand how hard is it for people when they have tried everything else, every other avenue of life, and it starts to box them in and they see no way out. There's always a detour this way and a detour that way. The road's always closed before them. Why won't they give Jesus a chance? He said, I'm the bread of life. He said, you'll never hunger. Now, this is a spiritual metaphor. And you'll never thirst. He gives us his spirit to quench your thirst and to fill your hunger. In John 7, he says this, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man, there he says it again, thirst, let him come unto me. How hard is that? He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his river shall flow rivers of living water. Life, life, hope, blessings will flow out of their belly. The life of Jesus Christ. If they'll just allow it, we'll try everything else. But for once, for some reason, amen, the enemy puts that block there. Amen, saying church is a crutch. Amen, church is not going to work. Amen, they're fanatics about this. That's the last thing you need in your condition, but it is the only thing. Amen, that's going to set people free. It's the only thing that's going to loose them. It's the only thing that's going to lift them up. David said it, he is my shepherd and I shall not want. We need to run to the foot of the cross and give Jesus a chance to mend our broken life. He says that in Psalms, goes on in Psalms 23. This is what people need. He restoreth my soul. So many broken people out there. So many broken people. They don't know what to do. They don't know where to go. Hey, amen. They're trying this self-help book, this self-help book. Hey, amen. They all put you on this pill and that pill. You know, we was reading that. It was a study come out. One of the, maybe it was James said, a study come out. And they linked prescription drugs to dementia and Alzheimer's. Now I want you to think about that. Take this pill, it will lower this. Take this pill, it will help you here. Take this pill. And I'm telling you what, in my life right now, I'm on more pills than I've ever been. And I look at them things and I hate every one of them. And I rebuke every one of them. And I know sometimes they're necessary, but there is a point where I told my doctor, I said, enough's enough. I'm not taking any more pills. Well, your cholesterol's high. I don't care. I'd rather die of a heart attack than a person sitting in the corner not knowing who my wife is or my kids are. There's a link to this stuff. People's souls are hurting. They need to be restored. Restoration. I'm telling you what, if you watch these car shows, what restoration or these fixer-up houses, they'll go into a car that's just a mess I wouldn't give 20 cents for. And give that guy 4 or 5 months, and when he's done, he's sitting on a ton of money. He restored it. You watch people go into houses that I wouldn't buy for nothing, and they go in and buy them and put time and effort in, and when you look at it, you're thinking, wow, they restored it. They brought it back to its original state.
Oh, that's what people need today. They need to be brought back to where, amen, God can bless them and God can help them. They need to be restored. They need, and I tell it all the time, they need to let the finger of God get right in the middle of their business and start stirring things up a little bit. Amen, God, get in my business. Amen, God, turn me around. Amen, God, set me on some solid ground. God, point me in the right direction. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Amen. Restores, I said, means to return. Amen. To refresh. Amen. I'm like a computer. Sometimes I just need to be rebooted and say, Lord, do something. Amen. Restore me. I need to be restored sometimes. As the Lord, the shepherd, amen, merely comes in. Amen. And restores us. Amen. Paul reminds us of this in 2 Corinthians. He said, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Oh, something's going on the inside. Amen. Something's moving on the inside. Amen. That little wheel begins to turn on the inside. And I know what it is. I'm telling you what. You don't have to have a megaphone to yell at me. It's the Spirit of God. I've been in this long enough to know. Amen. When God's moving on the inside. And when God's moving on the inside, something's going to take place on the outside. There's going to be a healing. There's going to be a blessing. There's going to be a restoration. I don't know about you, church. Amen. But I want God, amen, to restore my soul today. Oh, glory to God. The inward man is renewed day by day. We need to say, devil, you can't touch this. Christ, what Christ has placed in my heart, because I'm telling you what, if you lose it, you gave it away. God promises to meet our every need. I spoke last week about the promises of God, and I said there's a lot of them in there. But the greatest one is when he spoke and said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Whoa, that's the promise right there. That lets me know that whatever I face, I'm going to get through it. Whatever I'm going through, it's going to pass. Hey, man, I'm not going to be in this situation the rest of my life. Hey, he promised me that he would be with me. And then he starts to pound the promises on top of us. He said in Philippians, but my God shall supply all your need. And that is not plural, that is need. Every need, this one, that one, and the other one. How's he going to supply it? He's going to supply it according to his riches in glory. Amen. By Jesus Christ. Amen. Through the ages, Christians have found it so true. Amen. To get to that place, amen, we got to do one thing, and we talked about it. Amen. Lord, what will thou have me to do? Hey, Paul writes to the Roman church and says this in 12:2. Here's our problem. Be not conformed to this world. Oh, man, but we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Amen. That which may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. We need to offer our bodies, amen, in worship. We need to offer our mind in worship. And he will transform us and guide us. And then we need to follow him. Amen. That what is good and acceptable. Amen. And so he said there in 23:3 of Psalms, restore my soul. Amen. Lead me in the paths of righteousness. Amen. For his name's sake, he leads me in the path of righteousness. Amen. I'm telling you what, people, it's only changed people, amen, that can live changed lives. Amen. If you're not living a changed life, you're not changed. Something happened in me. Did you hear me? I said something took place in me. Oh, glory. That changed me. That changed me. And because I've been changed, I've been leading and living a changed life. Not of my own will, not of my own power, but because of one who died on a tree. Amen. Turned me around and made a difference in me. Oh, glory. I'm about ready to run. I don't know about you, but I have been changed. Well, glory. He's my shepherd, and I shall not want. Well, glory to God. It's only changed people who can live changed lives. We are ready for the path of righteousness. Are you ready for the path of righteousness? If your soul's been restored, that's the only path you can take. And what are those paths? Those paths are simply doing the will of God. That's it. We've heard in Bible study that Paul was blinded. And then God spoke to somebody else, Ananias, and saying, this man's coming. And Ananias questioned God. But I want to tell you what, we can question God, because he said, God, do you know who this guy is? Like God didn't already know who this guy was. He's persecuted the church. He's been taking Christians to jail. God goes, I know all that, but this is the man I've chosen. Ananias had two choices. He could have said, nope, he's not coming to my house. But Ananias said, bring him on, because God has spoken. The path of righteousness isn't all that hard. It's just doing the will of God. That's why Paul talks about, in many spots, in a couple spots in the Bible, I am crucified with Christ. He said, never the yet I live. He's talking about the spirit man. We need to lay ourselves on the altar. In the Old Testament, we know what happened at the altar. Something died at the altar. But in our case, something died, Sister Michelle, but something got up and lived. I died. And then when I got up from the altar, I was a changed individual. So I'm telling you what, you can say, well, we don't see a bunch of healings and this, that, and the other. But there's one thing you cannot doubt, Brian, and that's salvation. And if we cannot doubt salvation, then why should we doubt deliverance? Why should we doubt healing? Why should we doubt God's provisions? Why should we doubt God's protection? Everybody in here, if I have you, do you doubt salvation? No, I've been saved. I know something happened in me. I know something took place in me. Brian talks about as a young kid, something took place in him. He knows that. There's not a doubt in his mind that he was saved by the power of Jesus Christ. So if we can believe in salvation, then we need to go on to the next step and say, I believe in healing. I believe in deliverance. I believe in obedience. I believe you. You know, what gets me, people say, well, yeah, I talk to God all the time. But if God talks to you, you're crazy. Why would you talk to God if he's not going to answer you? Okay. What's the point? Well, God spoke to me. He did what? Do you pray? What's praying? Praying is talking to God. People say all the time, pray for me. And that's a cliche for most people. Because most people don't know, oh, I'll pray for you. And that's just the... But if we pray, we're talking to God. And I don't know about you, but when I pray, I'm looking for an answer. And I'm looking for God to speak to me. Amen? So when you tell people God speaks to you, they're thinking in your head, you need to be you're crazy. You need to be under a doctor's care. But it's okay to pray to pray. I want God to lead me in those paths of righteousness. I don't know about you, but I do want God to speak to me. I want God to speak to my spirit, amen, and lead me in the right direction that I should go. Because I'm telling you what, sometimes my GPS gets off. I was on vacation one time, and it was before we had the phones, and I had a Garmin. I was following that Garmin. Problem was, I was leading and everybody was behind me. You know where we ended up? In a parking garage. And then I had to turn around and go out, and I'm towing a boat. Then I had to turn around and go down to the attendant and say, hey, here's my ticket. I've been here like a half a second. I don't know if you guys remember that or not. In a parking garage. I was following the thing. Sometimes those things aren't always right. But when you begin to follow Jesus, that's doing the will of God, God's rule, God's kingdom, through our lives as we are, here comes that word again, submitted to him. What did Jesus pray in the prayer, amen, the Lord's prayer? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is where? In heaven. So we need to be doing the will of God here, as what's going up in the upper world. So, through our transformed lives, the name of God is glorified. We are to walk in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. When we take His name, we are to do His will. I'm telling you what, church, it's all about doing the will of God. Ecclesiastes, this is some of the Old Testament scripture, but it is still pretty powerful. And chapter 12, the last two verses. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Matt said in Sunday school, it's a good thing God sees us, and then sometimes it's a bad thing God sees us. But let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It's to fear God and keep His commandments. This is what? The whole duty of man. I'm telling you what, if we can master that, I'm going to tell you what, everything else in your life will be a piece of cake if you can do what that says. Everything else will fall into place. Because we know we serve a faithful God. We talk about His faithfulness. We talk about how God moves in situations where we cannot even imagine how God moves. Sister Linda Gibson during revival needed a financial move desperately. Desperately. Brother Capps brought her up here, and Brother Capps and myself prayed over this piece of paper. She needed $2,300 by this certain date, and it was August 1st. The last day of July, August 1st is the next day. So she needs $2,305. Somebody walked up to her and gave her a $2,300 check with one day to spare. She had to pay the $5. But I think she said, I can. She wrote in an email, I told God I can handle the $5. And who would have been panicking? One day left. See, somebody had to obey God for her to get what she needed. That's why it's very important for you to walk in the paths of righteousness, for you to obey the voice of God. David goes on to say in Psalms 23:4, we read this so much, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. David using shepherd's tools as metaphors. They mean something to the shepherd. David now turns from God's provision to God's protection. How many have just barely escaped a terrible accident? And you go, wow. You should have said, thank you, Lord. Because God's got His hands, His eyes run to and fro for your sake. David now turns to God's protection. As the shepherd, the Lord protects him from the valley of the shadow of death and enemies and evil. The paths of righteousness do not protect you from the valley. Sometimes the paths of righteousness lead you into the valley. But it's the Lord who leads us through the depression of the dark gloom that sometimes we go in. We are in a place of ultimate risk where the darkness seems to be closing in and the devil seems to be closing in and death begins to cast a shadow. Our fear then is eclipsed. How? By the presence of God. For you are, there it is, for you are with me. How many thinks that's, oh God, thank you for being with me. Amen. In every aspect of life, it's the Lord's presence which can give us complete comfort and security. When God sent His people from Egypt, amen, He said, I'll do one thing for you. In Exodus 33, He said to Moses, my presence shall go with thee and I will give thee rest. I'm here to tell you, Because of that reason right there, I'm going to state this right now. Amen. I'm going to be able to face anything. Amen. Because he's with me. Because his presence comfort me. Brian, you're going to be able to get through anything. Amen. I don't care what it is. The devil wants to, amen, bury you. He wants just to scatter you all over the place. Amen. But you're saying this. Because he's with me, though I walk through this valley, amen, the paths of righteousness isn't going to protect me. Amen. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Walking with me, it's going to protect me. Even though I'm doing the will of God, things happen. We go through trials and tribulations. Amen. But I'm going to go right back to the promise. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. When I can't see him, he's there. When I can't feel him, he's there. The devil says he's nowhere to be found, but he's there. How do I know he's there? He gave me the promise. I'll never leave thee. I'll never forsake thee. Amen. In that valley, in that time of darkness, amen, the one thing I have is the presence of the Almighty One. Not only his presence, but his power. I will fear no evil. Even though I walk through this shadow of darkness, I will fear no evil. For your rod, your staff, and your rod comfort me. The rod, as we look at the shepherd's hook, and a lot of the pictures, we see the shepherd with this hook. The other end, he beats off the danger. At the other end, he grabs the sheep and pulls him back out of danger. So we know that the shepherd is protecting these animals that have no defense whatsoever. Your rod beats off the enemy. The staff snatches me away from harm. It protects me. Amen. Sometimes our own wondering, and everybody's been here, our own wondering and our own foolishness, sometimes, Matt, God has to protect us from ourselves. How many is thankful that God hasn't given up on you? Think about it for a second. How many is thankful that God just didn't say they're worthless and just cast us off into the garbage heap? And I have done things and thought things and said things that God could have said, man, I'm done with you. But he didn't. Because there is a love that the shepherd has for the sheep. And we sometimes wander off spiritually. He snatches his back. Because David said he has the power to save and he has the power to restore. He's also the good shepherd. As we have seen, he even lays down his life for the sheep. Knowing that Jesus has the power to beat off our enemies, that should give you great comfort that you're able to face anything. Jesus spoke in John chapter 10 and he said this, my sheep hear my voice. I know when you're a young Christian, sometimes you're like, is that you, God? The older you get, the more you know the voice of God. The more I'm around people, you might not even be in the same room, but I know your voice. And I said, well, that so-and-so just walked in. Because I've been around them. See, when you're around somebody, I know them. He said, they follow me. And I will give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall my man pluck them out of my hand. David goes on in Psalms chapter 23 to say, this is one of the greatest things when you're in such a desperate, dark time. Thou preparest a table, where does he do it? In the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. And then he says in verse 6, surely mercy, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This metaphor David's talking about changes David's deal with his enemies.
rather than being a shepherd, now the Lord becomes a host because Michelle is preparing a table. And I believe that when we're in those dark times and those things that we just don't understand and our back's up against the wall or in a corner, whatever metaphor you want to use, I believe Jesus comes in and he prepares a banqueting table in the spirit, and he seats you at the table and he makes the devil stand and watch you eat the goodness of God. Right in the presence of your enemies, the Lord becomes a host. Jesus begins to serve, brings the plates out. And I've said this a couple times before, even though the dinner hasn't started, Thanksgiving's coming up, you hear the cluttering around in the kitchen, the glasses tingling, the plates tingling, the silverware tingling. You know what you're thinking? Dinner's almost ready. And I believe if you listen in the spirit, you'll hear the same thing. God preparing a table, and you know what you're saying? Devil, I'm going to eat, and you're going to watch me eat the goodness of God. Because in them dark times, we sometimes need a move of God. We are sometimes getting desperate situations, and we need God to move for us. And if we'll listen, God's preparing. A lot of people are hurting so bad they don't want to listen. I don't know if they want to continue with the hurt. I don't know, and it hurts hurt. Dealing with something, sickness, a loss, it's terrible. Especially a loss of a loved one is terrible. But if you'll listen, if you'll just listen, if you'll just stop your hurting. The Bible says there's a time to weep, but there's also a time to cry. And that's why there's a time to dance. Ecclesiastes talks about that. Time for everything under the sun. Mourning, yes. But then you need to stop and you need to listen. And I believe if you'll listen, you'll hear God preparing a table right in front of you and right in front of your enemy. Your enemy of hurt, your enemy of depression, whatever your enemy may be, he's preparing that banqueting table. If you'll just listen, you'll hear the table being prepared. And he does this to strengthen you. Now he becomes a host. He seats us in the presence of our enemies. He is banqueting table, then he anoints us with oil as a sign of celebration, and he fills our cup to overflowing. When the devil comes in, just look around. There will be a table, and you can be seated. And when you look up from that table, you'll find out that it's Jesus Christ with the nail scars in his hands and the stripes on his back and the scars of the thorns serving you, because he has the power, amen, to initiate the joy. And I'm telling you what set Rome on fire. I mean, what really fired Rome up with the early church was the more they persecuted, Matt, the more of them popped up. They would throw hundreds in jail, 200 would get saved. There was a joy that was being imputed into these people that they didn't quite understand. I'm sure the apostles came out of the upper room. They had no idea what they had. But one thing they did know, that Jesus Christ told them this was coming. They didn't understand what it was, but man, they took it and they ran with it. It's been said before, they knew how to outlive their enemies. And they knew how to outdie their enemies. You know what caused the early church to explode? They had no fear of dying, and they had no fear of being thrown in jail. They said in the war with Japan, the problem that they had with the Japanese army was they weren't afraid to die. They was crashing planes into our ships, and now we fast forward, 90 years? And we're facing another enemy in the Middle East, the Islamic terrorist. The reason it's hard to kill those guys, they're not afraid to die. We value life. We don't want to die. But if we could learn to outlive our enemies, and if we could learn to outdie our enemies, And we can look at the devil and say, you can take my life, but you can't take what Jesus has given me. You can bury me in the ground, but one of these days I'm coming out. You can just tear everything up around me, but I will be restored. Go read Job and see what happened to Job. We need to understand that. He has a banquet table ready for us. A gift of the Spirit. A full cup is another sign of God's fullness, God's blessings. It should be a celebration. Where's your joy at? Where's your joy at? And then as we read that last scripture, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I'm going to tell you right now, church, if I want something to chase me, that's what I want chasing me, goodness and mercy. Let it chase me all the days of my life. David ends with the final promise, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Here the house of the Lord is God's tabernacle. David will dwell, or the word means remain, in God's house forever. Forever in Hebrew means length of days. Throughout all the days, it never ends. The Hebrew eternity was not a timeless state, but eternity was a endless days. Here's where David will be before the Lord forever and forever. Throughout Psalms 23, we have the revelation of God's provision and God's protection. His promise to bring us into his house, to set in his presence, so he can rest us with his salvation. He feeds us. He gives us water to drink. He quenches our thirst. He renews our soul. He guides our steps. And he guides them in his way. This world, however, is in a mess. And we can look around and see the evil that is there. So he protects us with his presence, with his power, even when we're facing death's shadow. We, church, need to celebrate the power of Jesus Christ. We need to make a shirt and has doom and gloom and then put a circle in it and a line through it. No doom and gloom here. The issues of life or death are where? And we say it all the time. It's in the power of the tongue. We walk by what? Faith, not by sight. We walk by what we know God can do. How many in here, if we allowed you to stand and testify, would just overflow with what God has done? And then, believing Sandy what God has done, he will continue to do. We just got to believe. I don't know how long it will take. Abraham waited how long? 30 years, 25, 30 years for the promise. He messed it up. He sure did. But he waited on a promise. And even though Abraham messed things up, God still blessed him abundantly in spite of himself. So can you ask that question? Is God my shepherd? Is he the one that, and I'm going to close. Is he the one that leads me? Am I allowing him to lead me? Am I allowing him to guide me? Or am I like a two-year-old child in the toy store when mom's got her by the scruff of the collar dragging her out and she's screaming? God's not going to do that. I want him to lead me where he wants me to go. I want him to speak to me. I want to hear what God has. I want to be restored, not only in body, but in mind, healing for your body. Healing for your body. We're going to stand on healing in this church. I don't care what anybody else says. We're going to stand on healing. He restores my soul. Why won't people let God in? Why won't people let God in? He can mend it. He can fix it. It's the devil that's lying to people and yapping at people saying, well, God could have done this, God could have done that. I'm going to stand up and say, yes, God could. He could have done that, but he didn't. And it's not my place to do that. Mercy Me's got a song out and says, even if he don't, even if he don't, I will trust him. It says one word he could speak and it could all be gone. But even if he don't, the powerful thing that Job said early in Job, I think it's chapter 13, though he slay me, yet I'll trust him. He's my shepherd. I shall not want. And then he set a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, and thou anointest my head with oil. And I think I said this a while back. I'm going to say it again. I don't know about you, but I wondered why David put this part in about the oil. What was the shepherd's relationship to the oil? I want you to listen to this. I said it 6 months ago, and I don't know if you remembered or not. It was figurative language that David was saying this, but it was language for God keeping the psalmist David healthy. Listen, I never knew this parallel, but I studied it a while back, and anoint my head with oil. Sheep can get their head caught in briars and almost try dying to get themselves untangled. And there's little tiny flies that like to torment sheep by laying eggs in their nostrils, and which turn into worms and get into the sheep's brain and basically drive the sheep crazy, where some have beat their head against a rock trying to get it out. Their ears are also susceptible to tormenting insects. So you know what the shepherd does? Now listen to this. He anoints their whole head with oil. And this oil, thank you, Jesus, forms a barrier, and it protects the sheep against those tormenting flies and those tormenting bugs. Do you have those times of torment? Do you have those times of depression? The devil's just hammering you. Do the worrisome thoughts invade your mind over and over and ever? And figuratively speaking, do you beat your head against the wall trying to get it stopped? Have you ever said, God, anoint my head with oil? And I want to tell you, church, he has an endless supply. His oil protects, just like that little sheep. He pours it on him, and it just covers his ears, and it covers his nose, covers his eyes. It's probably a little uncomfortable with all that thick oil on him, but it's better than the tormenting flies and the tormenting bugs. I stand before you today, and I lift my hands to heaven, and I say, God, anoint my head with your anointing oil. Anoint me to protect me against the things that the enemy tries to bring in, the thoughts that invade my mind, the darkness that sometimes I'm stuck in. Anoint my head with oil. Let it run down me. The shepherd was protecting his sheep. I want my head to be anointed with the oil of Almighty God. So you need to ask yourself today, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. This prayer will be answered if you'll say yes. Can we say yes, he's my shepherd? Can we say yes, I shall not want? Can we say yes, Lord, I'll allow you to lead me? I'll follow. I won't tug back. We used to have a little white dog. He's dead now, but for some reason that dumb thing didn't like a leash. The two dogs now, you say, let's go, and they're tearing down the front door. This little white dog, Kim's favorite, name was Bam Bam. You put a leash on him, take him out in the front yard, and he's jumping around like he's on a hot pavement. And he's heading the other way, pulling the other way, trying to get loose, trying to get out of it. He wouldn't lead. I just want him to follow me. He wouldn't do it. Are you that type of person when God's trying to lead you? You're bucking. You're raising up your shoulders. And you're saying, no, I don't want to go that way. No, I'm not going to do that. Or are you submissive to the will of God? I don't know about you, but I'm saying, Lord, anoint my head with oil. If you'll anoint me, I'll follow you. I'll humble down before you. I will allow you to lead me. I will allow you to guide me. And then when we do that, we honestly then can say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know about you, but it's a thank you, Jesus. I don't know how you feel about it, but it's a thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Let's find us a place to pray, church. God bless you.